Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Nacho Hour. This is episode 8, our official quarantine episode. I'm your new host, Connor Cornelius, and I've got my good friend Colby Adams with me here.
How's it going?
So, considering the whole coronavirus situation, we're deciding to stray away from talking about that too much. Of course, quarantine is a little bit unavoidable, but that's what we're here for. We're trying to come up with some remedies to kind of cure the boredom that comes with quarantine. And with that, I think we should start out with the date, which is just so happens to be 420. I mean, at least at the time of the recording, it's 420. By the time this gets uploaded, it will probably be a day or two later. But considering the fact it's being recorded on 420, Colby and I were scrolling through our YouTube suggested, and we come across this IGN video, which honestly really got us both, right?
For the first half of the video, it was really, it looked real. I mean, but then as soon as it got out after the serious part, it showed a teenager, baby Yoda, or teen Yoda, smoking a joint, and we both just started dying. I mean, it was really funny, but we were kind of disappointed because it wasn't the actual release for season 2 trailer, but it was a good joke.
Yeah, it caught us both off guard, but IGN clearly put a lot of work into it, which I thought was very impressive. And I can appreciate that. On a different note, let's talk about how we've been combating boredom, and how you guys can at home too, because it's really something that affects us all. It's something that's really unavoidable, especially in our current time. But definitely the biggest thing that's helped us through most of the empty hours of the day is video games.
Video games, yeah.
I can definitely talk about Doom Eternal for hours. I mean, it's 3 weeks since its launch. It's been a huge hit, and I've been playing so much of it. There's so many details, so many little secrets and things to do. There's so much to come back, and that gives the game replayability. I really do love it, especially with the new mechanics and how it expands on the Doom lore, which, if you've ever seen the original games, you can barely tell that there's a story there, because it just seems like the type of game where you go in and you just play, right?
I personally haven't played the game yet, but I've heard great things from Connor and other friends, and I'm thinking about getting it, because it really looks like a great game. I've watched some ads for it, and I've seen gameplay for it, of course, but it looks like a really good game.
Right. Another huge release that actually launched the same time as Doom Eternal was Animal Crossing New Horizons, which is a huge hit with a lot of Nintendo fans, and it has definitely moved a lot more Switches than any other game. Or at least from what I've seen. I've seen people trying to find Nintendo Switches anywhere just to play this game, which I find very impressive. It's definitely not for everyone, but because I know some people like more fast-paced, you know, pedal-to-the-metal action games. But Animal Crossing is kind of that game where you can just relax and, you know, take it easy, expand your island, create new relationships with your villagers, and just kind of hang out. It's a really slow-down, slow-paced game, and I really enjoy it. I've been playing it a lot, and I can definitely say you'll be spending hours in your village just expanding, making things look nice. And I know Colby's watched me, and he's actually played a little bit of it himself.
Yeah, I don't have the game either, but I have seen Connor play it, and I've played it on his Switch a little bit too, and it's pretty enjoyable. First time I saw the game, I didn't really think I'd like it that much, but I played it on Connor's Switch, and it was actually pretty enjoyable. I like the museums and all the little details they put into that game. It's really interesting, and I think it's a good game.
We've been talking about the two big hits of this month. However, another thing that we've been doing is we've been going back to some old games, like the classic Minecraft.
I mean, classic Minecraft. We made a server the other day, and I mean, we've gone so far in like a week. It's kind of insane.
I mean, it's really impressive what you can do in a couple of hours if you're just absorbed into the game, which it really does absorb you into the game, especially if you have friends. I find that something that I've really have fallen back on during this, because I can't see my friends like I normally can in person, so why not do it over a game? I mean, we can still play together, we work together, and it's just a lot of fun.
Yeah, and in Minecraft, I mean, we play, I mean, I say almost every night, maybe we miss a night every now and then, but it's fun. I mean, it's a classic game, you can't go wrong with it. It's a good game.
Right, especially because you can play with your friends, and that's not the only game. We've been playing a lot of R6 too, Rainbow Six Siege.
Rainbow Six, yeah. I mean, that's still a relevant game, I guess, but it's kind of gotten more relevant just because of this quarantine. Everyone's playing games just to play games, but I mean, Rainbow Six has stayed steady with their stream. I think it's still an amazing game. It's a really good game.
Another thing that I find really interesting is how this whole Twitch Prime thing.
Yeah.
And especially for Rainbow Six, I know you can get some elite skins and items from that, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah, and you struggled for about 30 minutes to try to get the Doomicorn in Doom Eternal. And it's a really good skin, I gotta admit.
Yeah, I went through a lot of effort to try and get that. I mean, obviously, Amazon isn't going to be at the fastest pace, considering the fact that right now, they're one of the largest sources for people getting their food and stuff and everything that needs to be delivered to them, because, I mean, it's Amazon. They just signed the $1 billion deal where they now have UPS and United Postal Service ship for them because they can't get enough of their trucks out. But getting back to the games, I know Colby's been playing a lot of Sea of Thieves, which I've only played a little bit of, but it's really fun.
It is. It's an open world game, and you have to have friends, or it's really not a true experience of the game. But if you have friends and you're playing with it, Sea of Thieves is amazing. It's an old pirate game. I mean, there's so much you can do. You can go do missions and stuff. You can fight other ships, which I really love about that game. You got cannons. You can shoot. I love it. It's like a classic, but it's not a classic. But I love it.
And I know that you can actually hear the other players, because it's an open world, like, exactly, MMO type game, right?
Yeah, it is, and it's really fun. I mean, like you said, it's open world, and you can literally hear the other players, and it's awesome, and you get to experience it, and you get to fight other players. It's awesome.
Yeah, as well as the bosses that, there's the Kraken. I know.
Oh,
that.
My God. me, personally, have not experienced that. My friends tell me about it, and they never want to experience that again. They tell me that it's the worst thing they've ever done.
Oh, jeez. Speaking of some of the worst things we've ever done, Trials is back in Destiny 2.
Yeah. I haven't played it because it's Trials, of course, but I know Connor and our friend Brandon have played it, and they hate it.
I mean, it's not that we hate it, but Destiny 2 is really running out of stuff to impress us. With the newest season that came out, the story that came with it was really unimpressive, and it just kind of brought something back from the vanilla campaign that we just kind of had let go because it was so long ago, and we're like 10 seasons in now. And unfortunately, Bungie just seems to be kind of running out of ideas with this. I mean, as unfortunate as it is to say, we're kind of past Destiny 2's peak. I mean, I definitely say Forsaken was its peak, and after that, it's just been Trials and Trials again. And I mean, it was fun the first couple of times, but they stopped being able to produce the gear that got players to really spend that time in the game. Like, just, it feels like Bungie's really running out of ideas here, which is really unfortunate, because Destiny 2 was a game that I used to spend so much time on. I know, and Colby has even dedicated a lot of time to it, but ever since then, it just doesn't have enough to keep the veteran players coming back.
I definitely agree with Connor. After Forsaken, I mean, it just went downhill from there. Forsaken was definitely a great season and everything, but after Forsaken, it kind of was just downhill from there.
Right. And even when Shadowkeep came out, Shadowkeep was great, but it was just okay, really. I mean, it definitely got a lot of players back into it, but it felt like it was just prolonging the inevitable.
And we all gotta admit that we all hated Cade dying. I just had to say it. I mean, come on, why'd you have to kill him off?
He was pretty much the mascot of the franchise.
He really was. But, I mean...
But that's old news.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the PS5 and the Xbox Series X. Scheduled for a close holiday release. I'm not sure how that'll be affected with the current situation. However, both of these consoles are looking really, really mean. The PlayStation 5 just dropped their controller design, which I've heard a lot of people have been saying it looks kind of like the Xbox One, which I can agree with, but it's still a really sleek design. What do you think?
It is. It's a very sexy design. It does resemble the Xbox a little bit, but I mean, I play Xbox and I like the Xbox controller. So I mean, that PS5 controller, the new one, it looks amazing just because I love the Xbox One controllers.
And maybe that was a design choice. I mean, yeah. Anything to break into a new market, right?
For sure. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. I love, honestly, when I saw the Xbox Series X, it was kind of hard for me to tell the actual like scale of it, because I know it's a rectangle, but it just kind of looks like a PC to me, although I'm not entirely sure how big it's going to be.
It's weird. I've never seen anything like it. It literally looks like a rectangle. And I mean, I don't even know what to say about it. It's just such an odd design for a console. I'm used to like a little thin rectangle, I guess. But like this little thing looks huge compared to in the pictures, at least. They may not be that big, but in the pictures, it looks gigantic.
And as for the specs, both of them are looking very, very impressive. I mean,
of course, yeah.
16 gigabytes per second. With the new 4K HD and 60 FPS, which is getting really close to that PC specs, especially if you know you're just someone who got a PC to play games and didn't really get new parts or get the best of the bunch, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, PCs are, I think a lot of people play a PC, and I think that's kind of the dominating console, I guess, if you want to even say, but the dominating gaming source. But Xbox and PS, I'm not saying they're just forgotten. There's definitely still playing, but I feel like PC is definitely a step up in the gaming world.
Don't forget about the Nintendo Switch. I mean, that's just a powerhouse of a console because it's portable and you can dock it, which is really convenient because if you want to go on the go and play some games, you just put the Switch in your pocket. I mean, it's really amazing. So if you haven't got one and you're just thinking about getting one, I definitely recommend picking them up. And if you think that it's a little too expensive, then pick up the Lite. The only downside is you can't really connect it to the TV, but it still plays all the other games just fine, which I can really appreciate.
Nintendo, I feel like they don't get enough credit for the Switch compared to other consoles, because it's a great gaming source. It's like he said, it's portable. You can literally fit it in your pocket and go wherever you want and play a game. It's like, it's just so convenient, and I love it.
Oh, definitely. Now, back to combating boredom, which I know is obviously one of the largest things that we've been trying to do here.
Yeah.
I've been trying to pick up some new hobbies. I mean, I've been kind of working with wood a little bit more. I mean, anything I can do to keep the boredom away, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, music. I've been trying to get into some new music. I mean, because I listen to the same music every day, but I've definitely been just trying to get into new music and just literally anything at this point.
Oh, yeah. I've been building up a playlist. As you know, I'm a bunch of my favorite songs. It's gotten a lot bigger, almost 200 songs bigger over the break, just because I've gone out and I've just started listening to some recommendations, and I've asked some friends of about their music tastes, and I've definitely taken a liking to some of it, which is something I think everyone can appreciate, because there is music for everyone, right? Because, yeah. I mean, music is subjective.
Yeah, and I just like to say, his playlist, I mean, it's insane. You gotta see this thing. It's insane. Like, it's got like 200 plus songs. Like, I never have that many songs, but it's got some good songs, you gotta admit.
Right. Because that's the great part about music. Everyone can connect with different music on different levels. And that's what I love about it. It's so diverse. There's something for everyone. That's why I like it.
I've been I re-downloaded an app, Duolingo, not sponsored, but I re-downloaded because I've gotten just so, I don't know what to do at this point. I'm like, you know what, let's try to learn a new language. It's informational. I mean, I feel like in the future and in your career, depends what career you go into, but any language you learn is always a good thing to have just in your life in general. But I've been trying to learn Japanese, which is, it's a pretty hard language, but I'm in Spanish right now at school, and I know Connor's in German.
Oh, yeah. Taking a language is something that I actually really enjoy. If you can stay through getting down the basics and all the boring conjugations and stuff, then it's definitely worth learning, because not only do you learn a new language, but you kind of learn a new culture.
Yeah, for sure. The cultures and all these different languages and all, it's insane. I mean, to learn, like, we know what we have here in America, but when you learn about all these cultures in Spain and German, it's a whole new world, pretty much.
Oh yeah, definitely one of my favorite parts, which is something I'll miss about school, because you just won't get the same experience. But I bet you never thought you'd hear a high schooler saying that, missing school, but...
Yeah, I mean, I feel like at this point in time, everyone's missing school, am I right?
Right, because you're just kind of stuck at home. You don't get as much interaction or exercise, because think about it, you're walking like 20% of your day around school.
Yeah, I mean, that's where you get those social interactions. I mean, I feel like maybe not everybody loves, but I definitely love those social interactions and seeing just people in general, other than my parents. I love my parents, but seeing them every day, it gets annoying.
Yeah, I know what you mean, but I know you've been out hitting on the range, right?
Yeah, so... Surprisingly, the golf ranges are still open for whatever reason. I'm not complaining, though. I love to go out there and just enjoy the fresh air and hit some balls. I play golf, so it's fun. I love it.
I mean, I used to love going to Topgolf, but after they shut that down, my golf career kind of ended. But speaking of that... the PGA is on hold, right?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much every sport's on hold.
Speaking of sports, I mean, I know that the MLB kind of wanted to come back without fans in the stadium, right?
Yeah, they were thinking about doing that, but I just don't think it'll be the same without the crowd in the stadium. I mean, for the players at least, I feel like that's got to be so hard for them not to have that environment of just a roaring crowd. I mean, like, that's what they play with every day. So I just can't imagine not playing just a silent crowd. That'd be so awkward.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, maybe they could pull up some fans on the Telecaster or something.
Yeah, you got a point.
Yeah, I also heard that in addition to them playing without any fans, each player would sit in the bleachers 6 feet apart from one another.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I mean, it's just kind of the quarantine condition. So, that's kind of insane. Continuing on sports, let's talk about NASCAR, because NASCAR has actually been pretty active still, right?
Yeah, they're doing the virtual things, which I think is really, it's really unique. They're airing it on TV. I mean, it's just a unique thing how the drivers can get together and race online, or virtually, I guess. But it's definitely one-of-a-kind thing you think do.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like how we were talking about playing video games. It's kind of like playing video games, but with, like, over 80 different racers, right?
Yeah, yeah, I mean, basically, that's their video games, racing. Which, I mean, it is a video game, but it's definitely... It's cool for them, I'm sure.
And it's cool for the fans.
Oh, yeah, for sure, because it's something brand new. I mean, they've never seen something like this before. They're used to being out there watching them race, but now they get to see them racing in their house. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and you can see the driver cam still, and they each have their spotters.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think the spotters is definitely a cool thing to have, but it's really unique.
Oh, definitely. Personally, I watched a lot of NASCAR before the quarantine, and I had no idea what would happen, but I absolutely love that they were able to continue the sport through this really creative and intuitive way.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the NFL draft, I mean, that's coming up in 3 days. They're doing that virtually, which I think is going to be amazing. I don't know about amazing, but it's definitely going to be very unique, like all this other virtual sports and stuff. I mean, Joe Burrow, he's obviously going to be the first pick of the draft. We know that.
Oh, definitely. He's one hell of a pick. Looks like the Bengals are getting lucky this year, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, you got a lot of talent in this year's draft. So, I mean, it'll be definitely an interesting draft, especially that's online. But in the NFL, Tom Brady going to the Bucs has definitely shaken this league. I mean, I didn't think he was going to retire or he was going to stay with the Patriots. I never thought that he was going to go with another team, especially the Bucs. I mean, come on now.
It's really weird because when you think of football, you kind of almost think of the Patriots because with how many Super Bowls they've won and the amount of publicity they get, you see the Patriots everywhere. I mean, and when you think of the Patriots, you think of Tom Brady. He was their star player.
Yeah, I mean, he was the face of that franchise for so many years, and now that he's gone, I don't know who or what they're going to do, that Patriots franchise. I don't know how they're going to come back from this.
It's really going to be something to see. It's the first time we've really been left in sort of a mystery, because Tom Brady was such a consistent thing in the NFL for so many years. It's really weird not knowing that he's not going to be with his, you know, his flagship team.
Yeah, for sure. In the NBA, ESPN had just released Sunday a new documentary about the last season of Michael Jordan being on the Bulls called The Last Dance. I watched the first two episodes that came out Sunday, and I mean, it's a good show. I really liked it so far. You got two more episodes coming out next Sunday, and they're coming out with 10 episodes altogether in the documentary, but I think it'll be really good for the next 8 episodes.
Well, tell me what that's about. I actually haven't heard of that yet.
It's a documentary about Michael Jordan and his last season with the Bulls and about all the controversy. Their general manager wanted their coach gone, and he said that was his last season of playing or coaching in the NBA. And they had won 2 championships the 2 years before that. And they had to win. They didn't have to win, but they really wanted to win that last championship to get a 3-peat.
Oh, definitely. It sounds like it would really be something that this team was passionate about. I mean, come on, it's the Bulls. It's your last season with your coach. It's almost like something out of a movie, which I assume is why it's a documentary now.
Yeah, it definitely pretty much is something out of a movie. I mean, you got Michael Jordan. I mean, it's just there was so much drama on that team that last year. I mean, pretty much all through the Bulls with Michael Jordan, but that last season in specific, there was a lot of just drama. Scottie Pippen leaving, I mean, that definitely stirred up because that left Michael Jordan with all the responsibilities of that team, basically. I mean, he was the leader in that locker room. It's insane how he had to deal with that kind of pressure.
Oh, right. The documentary, I assume it captures that pretty well, just judging how you've been able to describe it to me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure they said, like, in the beginning of the series that they let a whole camera crew come in there for the last dance, that last season, and they just let them film everything. So, I mean, they caught everything in that last season. They caught every little drama detail or whatever you want to say, but it was spectacular how they've done it so far. I mean, we have 8 more episodes left to go, and I mean, it's awesome so far.
Yeah, especially, I mean, it's Michael Jordan. He's one of the biggest sports icons in history.
If not the biggest sports icon in history.
Oh, definitely. Now, speaking of you know, TV shows and whatnot, we've definitely been watching a lot more TV shows and movies than normal.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And I know that we're both definitely excited for the return of Rick and Morty.
Rick and Morty. Pickle Rick. What do I mean? I mean, yeah.
Oh, jeez. Here we go with the Pickle Rick jokes. Anyways, I know that they really kind of left season 4 without, like, any more episodes. They did a couple episodes, and then they were like, all right, we're going to take a break, and never came back to it.
Yeah, I mean, me personally, I didn't really like that. I wish they kind of just kept going, because I love Rick and Morty. It's such a good show. It's such a funny show and classic. I mean, I don't know why they did it, but they did it for a reason, and I just hope these last couple episodes are awesome.
I mean, just judging by the clips that we've gotten, they seem to be, like, really good. And I really can't wait. Because back when Rick and Morty came out some odd years ago, I remember waiting every Sunday for a new episode to come out. And I know that there's been a lot of, like, mixed reviews on how people like Rick and Morty, but I mean, I enjoy it. I definitely love the subliminal messaging and how it, yeah, it goes over all these complex sort of topics, but at its core, it's just a really good show.
Yeah, I mean, I love the space aspect of it, and how Rick is this ingenious scientist, and he can do all this stuff, and he has the, like, Rick army, but, like, all those different Ricks from all this different...
The Citadel of Ricks?
Yes, I love that. It's just such a... It's such a cool thing to see, and it's just... It's awesome.
And if you haven't watched the show, I recommend watching it, but quick spoiler alert, I cannot wait to see Evil Morty and how he's running the Citadel now.
Oh, that's going to be amazing. I mean, I wish they kind of showed that a little more in that in the first couple episodes, but I know damn well it's going to be nice in these last episodes.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely... Because the whole thing about the whole Evil Morty thing, it was just kind of a throwaway gag at the end of an episode, but it turned into this like ongoing thing, which we saw in the Ricklantis mix-up,
mm-hmm.
which was really good. That was a really good episode with a lot of good messages behind it, and what it was trying to display in not only our real world, but what was happening in our, you know, our fictional show that we're all really invested in.
Yeah, I saw an ad the other day on TV. It's called Solar Opposites. And it said that it was like had the same style as Rick and Morty, and it had like this alien family or something, and it looked amazing. I mean, I've never seen something like this, but it looked really good.
Oh yeah, I think I heard of that. It's Justin Roiland's new show, which I'm pretty sure is it's actually going to be on Hulu. It's going to be a Hulu original, and I caught an ad for it on YouTube the other day, and honestly, when I first saw it, I just wasn't sure. It looked like Justin Roiland was making his own show, but almost was trying to capitalize off of the classic Rick and Morty style, and that a lot of people would kind of go into this almost expecting a Rick and Morty-like show, but seeing like a full trailer of it, it looks really funny.
It does. It seems like it kind of has the same type of humor in Rick and Morty, just that... bad humor, I guess. I don't know what to call it, but it's a really funny humor.
The more mature humor.
Exactly, yeah.
And I can see where there may be some concerns for this show, seeing how, yeah, it looks almost identical to Rick and Morty, and there obviously are a lot of the returning voice actors. Like, what Rick and Morty likes to do, it likes to reuse voice actors, which it's not a bad thing if you do it right, which I agree with. And then they're using some of the same voice actors from Rick and Morty in Solar Opposites, which I know Justin Roiland is voice acting for the two main characters. I don't know their names, but they seem like they're going to have a pretty interesting dynamic. One of them seems like, seeing as how they're aliens and they're on Earth now, one wants to get off Earth, and the other one wants to adapt to Earth culture. And I think it's going to be a really good show about this, you know, alien family trying to adapt to human culture.
Yeah, it's definitely... It does just seem like a really good show in general. It really relates to the Rick and Morty about, like, this aliens and just the science-y kind of aspect.
Right, the sci-fi aspect.
The sci-fi, yeah, definitely. I mean, just... They seem so advanced compared to the humans, I guess. I don't know. But Rick is basically advanced. He basically is an alien. I mean, with his mind, I don't know.
Right. That is something I'm definitely anticipating, which, surprisingly enough, is releasing 2 days after the return of Rick and Morty.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting. I mean, I feel like they had to plan that somehow, because Rick and Morty comes out May 6th, and then the new episode of Solar Opposites come out May 8th, which, I mean, it's going to be a good 2 days, I'll say that.
Yeah, I just find it really interesting, because not only, I would assume it's the same animation team animating both shows, but then Justin Roiland not only has to voice Rick and Morty, but he has to voice act for these two new characters as well. It seems like it's going to be a lot on him.
Yeah, I mean, but I think he can handle it. He's a good guy.
Oh yeah, definitely a lot of talent. Speaking of some television shows, I heard you were watching All American, right?
Yeah, it was just my mom put it on one day on TV, and I told myself, I'm like, I'm not gonna watch this. This looks stupid. But of course, 2 days later, I finished both seasons of it, and now I'm anticipating a third season. So, but I mean, hey, why not? And I'm probably going to go on Netflix tomorrow and just find some random show. I mean, they got some good shows on Netflix. I don't have Hulu or HBO, but I have Netflix, and they got some nice shows on there.
Yeah, I would imagine. I've definitely seen Netflix has been gaining a lot more movies and shows. Like, they've got some classic ones, like The Good, Bad, and the Ugly with Clint Eastwood. That's a classic. And then, of course, they've got all the new ones. It's just really something that you can go through and maybe find an older new movie that maybe you're like, I don't know if I like this, but you give it a try and it becomes one of your favorites, like Monty Python and the Holy Grail. That's a really good, old, funny movie.
It's a terrible movie, that's all I'm going to say.
I completely disagree. It shaped modern comedy.
Next topic.
Not next topic. We're not done talking about TV shows and movies. I know you just finished JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Yeah, this guy got me into it, but I mean, I don't blame him. I mean, I don't put it on him. I actually really like the show. I'll admit, the first two parts weren't nearly as good as 3, 4, and 5, but they definitely were. The whole series is just a great show with all the JoJo's. I mean, I know he's watched it, but I loved it. I loved all of them.
Oh, yeah. I remember I got into it over last summer, and then I watched the entire series through the year, and I definitely enjoyed it, and I highly recommend it. It seems really odd at first, but once you watch the first two parts, it kind of becomes a part of the show, and it's like the norm. Now, starting to move away from TV shows, let's talk about some movies, because now with AMC and Regal and literally every movie theater being closed, which AMC itself wasn't really doing too good before, I can't imagine the closing is helping them at all right now.
Yeah, I mean, this closing really isn't helping anybody, but the movie producers are definitely getting this good because they're releasing these movies digitally. And the first to do so was Trolls 2.
Trolls 2 World Tour, I believe it's called.
Yeah.
Which, the only, like, main problem people were having with this was that they were charging $20 on Amazon to rent it for 48 hours, which is more than general admission, I believe, for the movies. And I completely understand that concern, but at the same time, the film producers aren't going to make nearly as much money as they would in the box office, so it's almost expected for them to jack up these prices. And depending on how long this quarantine lasts and how long we really need to prolong things, we may see some other large, big digital premieres, like, who knows, maybe even Black Widow, which was delayed because of the quarantine, maybe a digital premiere, which would be pretty insane when you think about it.
Yeah, as big as a movie as that was in anticipation leading up to that movie, it was supposed to release in May, but now they've obviously pushed it back. If they digitally release that movie, such a big movie like that, that'll be definitely a thing to see.
Yeah, it would be really interesting to watch how it goes, considering the fact that Marvel's a much bigger franchise than Trolls, and it would just be really interesting to see the comparison between how well those movies did, and even how well the Black Widow standalone film did compared to, let's say, Black Panther when it came out. Which really makes me think, how do these huge movie studios and their crews can communicate with each other? I mean, it's such a huge operation, and there's often thousands of people working on a single movie. And it's just kind of insane, especially because, I mean, you can't be in a studio like you normally are. And that's something that everybody is really kind of worrying about, which is, like, schools are now focusing on Zoom, and for more recreational use, people use Discord and House Party, but nobody uses Skype. Skype sucks.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Skype sucks. That's all I have to say about that.
Yeah. However, I'd definitely say the FaceTime app on Apple is definitely something that is used a lot on my phone, and I'm sure it is for Colby, too.
Yeah, The Zoom, I know the Zoom is helping a lot of people right now. My my mom just had a doctor's appointment today, and she did it through a Zoom call. And I was like, wow, I didn't even know that was a thing for with a doctor's appointment. And I just thought that was really interesting. I mean, people are utilizing Zoom in all these different kinds of way for work, doctor's appointments, school, obviously, and then all these business things. I mean, it's just a really nice thing to have. And I feel bad for these Zoom people because they just got put on them. I mean, all these people just started using their app and stuff. I mean, I'm sure they want the response. They want people using their stuff, but, like, it's a lot of responsibility.
Oh, especially because the school system is relying on it, and how, you know, with so many people using it, it's kind of hard to, like, hold all these people on a single server, you know?
Yeah. I mean, most people are using this. Businesses, work. Everyone's using Zoom, obviously, and plus the schools, but, like, everybody's using Zoom.
Right. And, I mean, at least they've been finding ways to innovate from when I've used it. It seems to work pretty well.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if they've done any more updating, but last I used it, it was good. I mean, it's a good face-to-face interactions with your classmates or business partners. It's really nice to see faces again on the Zoom app and stuff, but it's nice.
Oh, right. And I know that I definitely use Discord a lot with my friends because I love using the voice chat so we can, you know, we'll communicate and play games. Like, as earlier, we were talking about how we play Minecraft and Rainbow Six. That's our main form of communication, and it works very well.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get in a party or whatever, and then we'll just play. I mean, it's a really easy app to use. I mean, it's you getting calls and you talking to people. It's really easy.
It's simple, it's effective, and it's fun. I mean, it's just how convenient it is. I could just pull it up on my browser, I don't have to wait, I just hop in.
Yeah, I feel like the House Party app and the FaceTime, they're kind of similar now. The House Party, that was to get multiple people at like a face call, but FaceTime is kind of updated, so they can do that now.
Right. But the great part about House Party is that you can actually use it cross-platform. So, like, if you have a friend who has Samsung, you can use House Party to communicate with them and your other Apple friends and your other Samsung friends. And I think you can have up to, like, 6 or 8 people in a House Party.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm sure. It's nice, I'm sure, for sure.
Right, but, you know, it all really depends on your connection because obviously some people are going to have the best connection, which is really what all of this depends on.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, because people can't get out there and go to places to get internet. They have to rely on their internet. And, I mean, people have just bad internet. I mean, it's just a thing you have. You have to have good internet for this stuff to work, basically.
Right. Which, I mean, with 5G coming out and whatnot, it's all just constantly updating.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know why, but it kind of got me thinking about with all this wireless stuff and just how we communicate and social media. With all the weird ads I see, like, just the other day, I saw, you know, those Old Spice ads with Terry Crews? The Old Spice ads don't even have anything to do with Old Spice anymore. It's just Terry Crews telling you to stay at home with Old Spice in the background, and it's really hilarious.
Yeah, I mean... Terry Crews and Old Spice, all of their ads are just so odd and weird. Like, whoever comes up with these things, I give you credit. Because these are the weirdest ads. Like, I don't understand. Like, all this is just so complex. And I'm like, what is even happening?
But it's entertaining.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying it's not. It's just insane. I'm like, what is happening right now? It's funny as heck, but...
Oh, yeah. I mean, on the topic of weird as heck commercials, you know, we've got the Rick and Morty Pringles ad, which I thought was hilarious because they turned the one shot where Rick's like ripping down the wall into a meme.
Yeah, I mean, if you turn something into a meme, it's just iconic. And the ad itself it's a good ad. I mean, but plus the meme, it just makes it even better. It
makes me want to stack Pringles.
Of course. I mean, what else would you be doing? Not stacking Pringles, like eating them plain, like just single, like what? Who are you?
Right?
You can't do it at this point. After seeing that ad, you can't do it. Like, come on now.
Yeah, and the classic Jake from State Farm ads are back, except there's, like, a new guy, I guess.
Oh, yeah. The first time I saw that, I was like, are they bringing the original back? And then I saw this new guy, and I'm like, what in the heck is this guy doing? I was like, it's pretty nice, though.
It's an interesting way to capitalize on an old commercial, but I don't know. I felt like it was kind of just the same ad, new guy, just a way to kind of bring it back into the limelight without wasting too much money.
Yeah, it definitely was. But I love that ad for whatever reason. I just really like that ad. And I thought it was nice to see it come back with, like, a new guy and stuff. I thought it was cool.
So, one of the weirdest, like... Okay, well, we've all seen Raid Shadow Legends. God, do we all hate them.
I feel like every YouTube video I watch...
has a Raid Shadow Legends.
It has an ad... But the YouTuber is always sponsored by Raid Shadow Legends. Like, can you not find another sponsor? Like, what about Honey? Like, come on, find another sponsor person.
And what we found out was that Raid doesn't pay sponsors. They only, their only sponsorship with YouTubers is when YouTubers do it without, you know, pay, just because they want to, which never happens.
That's not true.
Exactly, and the person who tweeted that on Raid Shadow Legends got blasted hard for that.
Yeah, I mean, because clearly nobody's just going to advertise Raid Shadow Legends because they want to. They're not going to advertise this whole thing about Raid Shadow Legends being an amazing game. But, like, it's just a stupid ad because you've seen it, like, 20 million times.
Raid Shadow Legends. Download now for free.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to ever hear that again.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I haven't seen them as much, because I'm pretty sure Raid is going out of business, which would be really convenient.
That would be amazing. I would love to see that.
Or not see that, huh? Because you wouldn't see their ads anymore, get it? No?
No.
Okay. Well, I mean, there's just a lot of weird ads, man. I mean, I don't know who gets paid to come up with this stuff, but
they better get paid a lot. I mean, god dang.
For some of them, the Raid Shadow people deserve to bankrupt. Chapter 11 bankruptcy.
Yep. Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
I don't know. What do you think? Does that wrap everything up, Colby?
I believe so.
I mean, I hope y'all enjoyed. This was my first, like the first time I've ever really hosted an episode, so I'd love to hear your feedback, and if y'all want to hear us talk about anything else, because I plan on having more people come on, some of the old cast, some new people, some more of my friends, and Colby will obviously make a return. So if there's anything you want to hear us talk about, then I know you could suggest it. So I really hope you all enjoyed. Stay safe, be cool, and relax.